Did you hear that passage of Scripture? How do we do that? Is it humanly possible? Love your enemies? Do good to those who hate you? Bless those who curse you? Pray for those who are unkind to you. Do not judge. Do not condemn. I don't know about you, but these more often than not do not seem to be my first inclinations. Last Sunday, Rob talked about Jesus' invitation to the blessed life. And from time to time, I have to stop and ask my soul why it is that I seem to be a whole lot more familiar with the woe is yous than the blessed are yous. How on earth can we enter into this life that Jesus came to offer us? And as I reflected on that question over the last several days, the word that kept entering into my heart over and over again was the word remember. Other than the phrase, do not be afraid, I think remember must be the other admonition of God most frequently found in our scriptures. We find the word remember and its variances almost 300 times in the Bible. Repeatedly in the book of Deuteronomy, we find verses like 6:21, take care lest you forget the Lord. Remembering is at the very heart of the Shema. Hear, O Israel. Remember, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Bind these words as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates so that you will not forget. Remember. Even Jesus in John's gospel says that the very work of the Holy Spirit is to bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Don't forget. Remember. Both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke begin with genealogies. 14 generations of Jesus' family exercises in remembering. For a very long time, as I read my Bible, if I came across a list of names like the genealogies in Matthew or Luke, I would just usually skip right over that and hurry on to the good stuff until I happened to be reading a commentary that described what a list like this would have been experienced and meant had it fallen on the ears of a Jewish audience, and it would have been far from boring. In fact, it would have been electrifying. The list would not have just been a genealogy. It rather was the recital, a remembering of the entire life story of a people. And for each name, there was a place and a family, a birth, a death, an adventure, and a lesson. Matthew and Luke's recitals relate the life of Jesus to all of Jewish history and extend his influence even beyond Abraham and beyond David, all the way back to Adam, the very Son of God, thus affirming Jesus' kinship to all humanity. It is not just a list of names to remember. It's like an experience many of you probably had growing up. sitting on the back porch on some hot summer night, listening to your parents and your grandparents recollect. You all know recollecting? You know, who was who? Whatever became of so-and-so? Who's related to who? And there's something very important about this kind of remembering. I recall as a child hearing this recollecting going on and not paying a whole lot of attention to it. But on the other hand, at the very same time, being filled with a sense of peace and rightness and connectedness, feeling that somehow my life was a part of this grand march of time. That I, in my smallness and ordinariness, I was a part of something that was greater and bigger, a part of what has been and a part of what is yet to be. I had this experience again a number of years ago when I went to Memphis with my husband Barry for the first ever Culbertson family reunion. And all of those stories and all of those names made Lee County, Virginia come alive in my mind. And one of my favorite stories was told by Barry's half-brother, Eugene. Apparently, the first part of all of the Culbertson brothers learned how to fly airplanes. And there was a very small plane that belonged to the family. And when I ask about that, why do all the Culbertson boys fly? The answer was that Dad was afraid of motorcycles. Go figure. Well, anyway, Eugene was about 25, decided he was going to fly from Pennington Gap, Virginia to Illinois to a farm to visit some cousins. So he's flying through Virginia, across Virginia, on his way to Illinois, and all of a sudden encounters this tremendous storm, thunder and lightning and wind, and he realizes that he's got to land. So starts looking for a green, flat place, finally sees it, puts the plane down, and suddenly realizes that the green, flat place is a rice paddy. And the plane sinks in mud about 3 feet deep, and there is absolutely no way he can extract the airplane from the muck and mire. So he calls back to Virginia to Brother Charles, who says he'll bring the truck from the hardware store, drive to where he is, and pick him and the plane up. So Charles arrives. They take the wings off the plane, load them on the truck, pick up the fuselage, put that on the truck, and begin their trip back to Virginia. They are in Kentucky about dusk, and as it is getting dark, they enter into a little rural town in Kentucky. And as they're driving along the main street, they suddenly realize that the lights are going off. Just as they drive along, block by block, the lights on the left, the lights on the right, blink, and then they go off. It's like they are leading a parade of darkness when suddenly they realize what's going on. The tail section of the plane is just tall enough to clip the power lines that are stretched across the main street. So Charles says to Eugene, "What do we do?" And Eugene says, "Drive faster." Now, I tell you that story because I really like Charles and Eugene, and I like this story, but I also think it can be a kind of parable of one of the powers of remembering. There are some people who never quite live the present because they are so busy reliving the past. But on the other hand, for some, the present can be transformed by remembering the past. There are times when we move through the days of our lives feeling that we are gagged and bound, that we are caught up and pushed through a series of events over which we have no control, no influence. Seasons when it feels like everything is going wrong, and indeed it feels like we are being pursued by darkness, engulfed on every side by darkness. And in those seasons, we need to remember. Remember that my life is not just this moment. As a matter of fact, my life isn't just me. My life is a part of that endless line of splendor, which is humankind. And recalling the lives of my family, recalling the life of my nation, recalling the lives of the great saints and spirits that we have known, and remembering that for them life was mountain and valley, life was joy and sorrow, life was triumph and failure, and yet life went on. In remembrance, we can begin to see the pattern which they found, which enabled them not only to survive, but to live. The pattern that allowed them not just to live, but to live abundantly. The pattern which whispers to our very souls, hang on. Joy comes with the morning. The pattern that reminds us you are not just a wanderer through these days. You are a journeyer, and there is a profound difference between those two. A wanderer just wanders, but someone on a journey has both a direction and a destination. And friends, we have both. When we know that we are embraced with grace, and that is a perspective that changes everything. Have you ever really thought about how powerful perspective can be? I was reminded of this in a letter I came across from a college student. Do you all remember letters? You know, college students now, you've got your text, you've got to do Instagram, you have your cell phone. Well, back when I was in college, you didn't talk to your parents very often. From time to time, you would sort of catch up with a letter home. So this is what this is, a letter home from a college student. Dear Mother and Dad, since I left for college, I have been remiss in writing, and I'm sorry for my thoughtlessness and not having written before. I'll bring you up to date now, but before you read on, please sit down. You're not to read any further unless you're sitting down, okay? Well then, I'm getting along pretty well now. The skull fracture and the concussion that I got when I jumped out of the window of my dormitory when it caught on fire shortly after my arrival here is pretty well healed now. I only spent 2 weeks in the hospital, and now I can see almost normally. And I only get those sick headaches once a day. Fortunately, the fire in the dorm and my jump was witnessed by an attendant at the gas station near the dorm. And he was the one that called the fire department and the ambulance. He also visited me in the hospital. And since I had nowhere else to live because of the burned-out dorm, he was kind enough to invite me to share his apartment with him. It's really just a basement room, but it's kind of cute. He's a very fine young man, and we have fallen deeply in love and are planning to get married. We haven't got the exact date yet, but it will be before my pregnancy begins to show. Yes, Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant, and I know how much you're looking forward to being grandparents. And I know that you will welcome the baby and give it the same love and devotion and tender care that you gave me when I was a child. And I know that you will welcome my fiancé into our family with open arms. He is kind, and although not well-educated, he's ambitious. And although he is of a different religion than ours, I know your oft-expressed tolerance will not permit you to be bothered by that in the least. Now that I have brought you up to date, I want to tell you that there was no dormitory fire. I did not have a concussion or a skull fracture. I was not in the hospital. I am not pregnant. I am not engaged. And there is no boyfriend in my life. However, I'm getting a D in American history and have flunked calculus. And I wanted you to see these grades in their proper perspective. Perspective is a powerful thing. Perspective allows us to see all things through the lens of that trace of grace. And when we stand on the solid rock of grace, we discover a capacity to see each other differently. Maybe we can even begin to see one another with the eyes of Jesus, who even when he was dying on the cross, saw not enemies, but saw lost children in need of forgiveness. Saw not less than faithful followers, but he saw beloved friends. He saw not just misguided masses, but saw sheep in need of a shepherd. Learning the perspective of Jesus might allow us to see. How did Paul put it? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is anything worthy of praise, a heart at peace which flows from a perspective of grace can see these things. And when remembering transforms our perspective, we come to discover that we are also remembered. Even in the vastness of time and space, God remembers us. In response to the cry of forgottenness and forsakenness, Isaiah speaks the word of the Lord to the people of Zion. Can a woman forget the infant at her breast? Or a loving mother, the child in her womb, even if these forget? I will not forget you. Behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. As remembering and remembered people, we truly can become God's people, a gift of light and hope in this broken and hurting world. Church, there's been a lot of change. There's been a lot of transition in this place over the last few years, and especially the last few months, there's been transition. In your own lives, there has been change and transition. In your lives, there has been upheaval and tumult, and there's been a whole lot of upheaval and tumult in our denomination, especially coming to a head in these days. But remember who and whose you are. If you can help each other do that, then we will all be able to declare with confidence the words of Paul. If God is for us, who is against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, I am certain, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.